Good afternoon, everybody. Shaul Plotzker coming at you live. This is my house. It's book club class time, and we're studying the Return to Zion, Addresses on Religious Zionism and American Orthodoxy by Rabbi Joseph Ber Soloveitchik of blessed memory. And we're going to conclude, hopefully, this will be part two of his lecture called Questions Posed to the Mizrahi as a Servant Before the King. He delivered it in November of 1955, and this will be part two, a concluding part. He had asked a couple of questions in last week's class. Query number one was, it's the question of our forefather Abraham's coin, which had an elderly couple on one side and a young couple on the other. See the Gemara Bava Kamma 97b. And question number two, and of course the continuation of question number one, was why does the Mizrahi not have the influence it should have in all areas of Jewish communal life? Query number two, which is closely connected, he said, with the question of our forefather Abraham's coin, and where is that question? A game of betrothal and marriage. Betrothal has taken place, he says, there's Erison and Kedushin, so the two sides have become engaged to one another, Mizrahi and Apoel HaMizrahi. The question is, when are they going to get married? And so the question becomes, just that, when are they going to get married? Oh, it's not going to happen. Oh, it did happen. Very interesting stuff. Now, on to page 190 in the book, and the third and final question that he's going to ask to his fellow Mizrahi members. So page 190, and with God's help, we'll get to the end of the chapter. A third question concerns chesed, loving kindness, and gevurah, strength. Already last year, in my greetings at the Mizrahi Conference, November 20th of 1954, I developed the idea that the extremist is a happy person. He has no problems and does not come face to face with the question of which path he should choose because he never finds himself at a crossroads. Unfortunately, we Mizrahi members often face dilemmas. For at times we see two roads diverging before us and find ourselves perplexed because we don't know which leads to the goal. And we ask ourselves Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai's old question, quote, there are two paths before me, one leading to the Garden of Eden and the other to Gehenna, and I do not know down which of them I will be led. See Brachos 28b, until here what I said last year. Let us now analyze these two roads a bit. Which two paths split off from the crossroads at which we stand, and where do they lead? I would dub one path the path of chesed, and the other the path of gevurah. What do these two attributes, chesed and gevurah, which represent the first two of the lower seven sphirot, and which are considered to be opposites, what do these two attributes mean? The Kabbalah has provided the answer that chesed means expansion, while gevurah means contraction. Chesed is compared to water, and a wind from God swept over the water. Beruach Elokim merachefes apnei mayim. Genesis 1, verse 2. Which, when given the chance, that water spreads far and wide, and fructifies mountains and valleys, fields and gardens. Gevurah is identified with fire, which shoots upward and confines itself to one spot. The master of the universe harmoniously unified these two attributes, chesed and gevurah, in the attribute of tiferet, splendor. It represents the magnificence of the synthesis of two opposites. Chazal conceived of the Torah itself as an expression of the attribute of Tiferet. Lecha Hashem HaGedula. Yours, O God, are greatness. See 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. That refers greatness. Gedula refers to the splitting of the sea. Vahagevura, might. That refers to the plague of the firstborn. Vahatiferes, splendor. This refers to the giving of the Torah. See Gemara Brachos 58a. For the Torah taught us that man has within himself these two opposing powers of chesed and gevurah. of expansion and contraction, and that he must unify and harmonize them, knowing when to apply the attribute of chesed and when and under what conditions to apply the attribute of gevurah. Top of page 191. And if you were to ask me how the greatness of the Mizrahi movement is manifest, I would answer you in the desire to properly implement in various social historical circumstances these two attributes of chesed and gevurah. Our flag should bear the motto Tiferet, the magnificence of chesed and gevurah joined together. On the one hand, we are convinced that we must cooperate with the entire Jewish people, that we cannot isolate ourselves in a secluded area and give up on the hope that the Knesset Yisrael will ultimately return to its source. Our philosophy is that no Jew can ever become completely spiritually defiled. There is something concealed deep, deep in his soul that connects him to the rock of Israel. Sometimes the Jew cannot understand himself. For instance, the great Rabbi Akiva did not know when he was an ignorant shepherd and would say bitterly, "Would that someone would give me a Torah scholar so that I could bite him like a donkey." See Psachim 49b. That within him, that within himself, inside Akiva, was a great holy soul that yearned and pined for Torah and sanctity. In the same way, many Jews do not know themselves. Therefore, we believe that the word of God must be disseminated everywhere, to all Jewish communities, among all social strata. One cannot know where the seed will fall and where it will take root. Deuteronomy 32, verse 13, he fed him honey from the crag and oil from the flinty rock. We believe that behind the stony hearts and vulgar exteriors of many Jews can be found honey and oil. Just like the bee, we strive to find nectar in every bloom, even when we must blast our way to the honey and oil through the hardness of the crag and the sharpness of the flinty rock. We especially believe in expansion, in joining with the Jewish people and forming a united front with all sorts of Jews when the Knesset Yisrael is threatened by a common enemy, as the land of Israel is today. Under such circumstances, the operative attribute must be chesed, expansion, all Jews being good, all Jews being holy, for all of us are then pursued by a common enemy who does not distinguish between the righteous and the wicked. When, quote, a fugitive brought the news to Abram the Hebrew that his kinsmen had been taken captive, that Kedorlah Omer had caught Lot, he mustered his retainers, those who were born into his household. See Genesis 14, verses 13 and 14. That's how Abraham behaved. He got news that his nephew Lot was kidnapped. And what did he do? He got together all those in his household. Not because Lot lived in accordance with Abraham's understanding. Not because he followed in Abraham's ways. Not because he behaved like a party to our forefather Abraham's covenant. But rather for no other reason than that they also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, and his possessions. It's amazing. The parsha of the week is going to be discussing this matter. We have people who have been kidnapped by Hamas Nazis, and Rabbi Soloveitchik is speaking about this very thing in 1958. So why did Abraham do all this? For no other reason than that they also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, and his possessions, because he was related to Abraham. That's why Abraham did it. Under such circumstances, we cannot split ourselves off, even from Lot. Under such circumstances, the motto is chesed, expansion. Despite the fact that he had nothing to do with Abraham's ideals, Torah, and life teaching, for he had settled in Sodom, Abraham joined forces with everyone who could carry a rifle and was born into his household. And he pursued them as far as Chovah. See Genesis 14. Under such circumstances, it becomes apparent that, quote, The glory of Israel does not deceive or change his mind. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. 250,000 young people stand ready to defend the borders of the land of Israel and to spill their blood for the nation and the country. And among them are many who oftentimes proclaimed, as did Lot, I want neither Abram nor his God. See Bracious Robber, section 41, subsection 7. Nevertheless, they obviously have faith in the God of Israel, for if not, the struggle is hopeless. And they fulfill the verse in Isaiah 62, upon your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen who shall never be silent by day or by night. He fed him honey from the crag and oil from the flinty rock. That is what the Mizrahi had, up to this point, collaborated and cooperated with all groups in building the state of Israel and guarding its borders. The Mizrahi has followed the path of chesed, expansion. The angel Michael has led the Mizrahi movement as the ministering angel of the Jewish nation. But we cannot always be guided by the attribute of chesed. Sometimes too much expansion is dangerous. If one exaggerates one's faith in man and relies on him entirely, one must ultimately be disappointed. At the end of the day, chesed, too, is no more than a midah, an attribute. It has to be measured and weighed. On occasion, one must be able to contract oneself. One must be able to contract oneself, withdraw into a corner, and activate the attribute of gevura. One must be capable of being solitary and of being content with the private sphere. At times, the voice of the master of the universe rings out, let no one leave his place on the seventh day. Exodus 16. The same Abraham, the symbol of chesed, who had the letter he added to his name, he went from Avram to Avraham, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. Av hamon goyim. See Genesis 17. The same Abraham entered into the covenant of circumcision, the symbol of contraction and limitation with the Almighty God at that very same time. Genesis 18, he was sitting at the entrance of the tent as the day grew hot. There was no outside world, just the tent. The same Abraham who sealed a pact with Abimelech and Pichol, chief of his troops, and planted a tree for all of humanity. Genesis 21, Abraham planted a tamarisk at Beersheba and invoked there the name of the Almighty God, the Everlasting God. That same Abraham also adjured Eliezer, quote, you will go to the land of my birth and get a wife for my son Isaac, Genesis 24. And he said to the Hittites, Ger v'toshav anochi imachem, I am an alien and a resident among you, Genesis 23. It is not for naught that the Kabbalists represented chesed via the right hand and gevura via the left. A Jew must use both hands, with the left pushing away and the right bringing close. See Sanhedrin 107b. At times, a Jew must be able to say, if I am not for myself, who will be for me? Avot chapter 1. My approach is correct. It is the majority that's in the wrong. At other times, he must also have the ability to proclaim, if I'm only for myself, what am I? When one knows how to apply both of these opposing attributes in various situations, one realizes the attribute of Tiferet. Tiferet is both contraction, splendor for its practitioner, and it is expansion, splendor for the practitioner from others. All of our problems revolve around the attribute of Tiferet. There are among us, and I am not speaking now exclusively about the Mizrahi, those who preach gevura, contraction, isolation, separatism. On the other side, there is a group, for instance, in American Orthodoxy, that continually calls for chesed, expansion, arguing that contraction results in the ghettoization of religious life. You understand, of course, that both approaches are mistaken. The true path is that of Tiferet. but one must be blessed with a deep historical intuition in order to be able to decide when the attribute of chesed is called for and when it should be put aside so that the attribute of gevurah, contraction, can be applied instead. This question is not discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. One cannot point to any of the opinions of the halachic authorities, neither the Shach, nor the Taz, nor the Pri Chadash, speak about this issue. And that is why it is such a difficult question to which Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's words can be applied. And I do not know down which of them I will be led. Who knows if I have acted correctly? Top page 194. Let us approach the matter practically. 2 years ago, religious Jewry in the land of Israel had to rule on this question. Chesed or Gevurah? Expansion or contraction? In connection with the issue of national service for women. You know quite well that the Aguda decided on contraction and withdrawal from the government, while the Mizrahi and Apollo Mizrahi remained in the coalition. I do not wish at present to enter into the historical question of whether the Mizrahi behaved correctly or incorrectly. Sometimes I think that it was right to remain, and other times it seems to me that it was wrong. I am not speaking now in a legal halachic sense. As I stressed earlier, this is more the type of question that must be decided with intuition. Religious Jewry as a whole is against national service, and I believe that had the Mizrahi then adopted a firmer stance, it would have succeeded much more in the recent elections of July 26, 1955, especially in the municipal districts like in Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and so on. Perhaps the Mizrahi had to stay in the government to save the marriage and divorce law in 1953. You all know quite well that I was then perhaps the only one who came out in public in defense of the Mizrahi position at a time when many of the supposedly sworn Mizrahi members were hiding between the oven and the stove, like the elders in Egypt. See Shmos Rabbah, section 5, subsection 14. To this day, I still do not regret that speech. I remain steadfast in my rebelliousness, for no matter how the Mizrahi behaved in this connection, whether properly or improperly, it is a great movement with historical achievements. It should not be minimized. But let us turn our attention away from the past for a little while and begin to consider the present. The Mizrahi and Apollo Mizrahi presented a series of demands as prerequisites for being able to participate in the government. I studied the list of conditions thoroughly, and I must tell you that all of them were justified and fair, even the one requiring a prohibition against raising pigs in the land of Israel. Why the Mapayas fall in love with pigs, I do not know. But Rabbatai, when you are at war with an enemy, and on the home front, the secular parties are our most implacable opponents, you must always see to it that you conserve energy and do not waste forces on smaller positions whose conquest will not win you the war. Many times the enemy wants us to concentrate on less valuable positions so that in the meanwhile he can take the main position. Top 195. As disgusting as pig farming might be, and as unfortunate as is the fact, for instance, that in Haifa, the buses run on Shabbos. The future of the Knesset Yisrael in the land of Israel does not depend on those things. Jews who want to eat kosher will not be shocked by a pig stall. And you will not block those who eat treif from the sea of available treif food. The same applies to transportation in the land of Israel. He who keeps Shabbos will keep it in any case. He who desecrates it will find 50 opportunities to profane the day of rest and sanctity. Therefore, one should not waste too much time and energy on these issues. Note the situation of the Moroccan Jews who are being forcibly placed in secular kibbutzim or settlements and whose children are being forcibly taken away to attend atheist schools is heaven-splitting and an issue that can determine the future of the yeshuv to a great degree. All energies must be directed at this issue, and not even one inch should be ceded Education is the most precious concern in Judaism, both in the land of Israel and in the diaspora. True, this requirement too was included on the list of demands. Had you asked me, I would not have presented many of the other demands, because doing so diverts attention and gives the enemy an opportunity to concede trifles and then afterward accuse us of being stubborn pedants. I had read day in and day out in the Mizrahi's Hatzofer that Ben-Gurion did not agree to change the status quo of 20%, 80%, just the ratio of new North African immigrants placed in the Mizrahi versus secular settlements. 20% going to Mizrahi, 80% going secular. And the Mizrahi, together with Hapoel Mizrahi, decided not to enter the government because Ben-Gurion did not agree to change the status quo of 20-80. The attribute of Gevurah was activated for the first time, and I was glad. I boasted to others, even members of the Mapai. You see, the Mizrahi is consistent. We do not sell our birthright for a bowl of lentils. Hatzofer, which is an outstanding newspaper, published fiery editorials arguing that not even one iota should be subject to compromise. It got to the point that even Zealot said to me, the Mizrahi is resolute. A pleasant surprise. Top 196. Until all of a sudden, one fine morning, I read in the New York Times that the Mizrahi and Hapoel Mizrahi had entered the government. The story was presented very dramatically. They negotiated all night long with Ben-Gurion. Without warning, around midnight, the president of the land of Israel, Yitzhak Ben-Tzvi, entered and appealed to both parties to compromise. After the appeal, they drank a l'chaim and broke plates. I would like to know, and I ask as a servant before the king, did Ben-Gurion agree that all self-identified religious Moroccan Jews should be placed in religious communities? And will the Jewish agency finance the resettlement of all of these religious Moroccan Jews in religious kibbutzim? For if they only agreed in theory to the principle of self-identification, but practically speaking, the agency will only finance at the rate of 20-80, then what did the sages accomplish with the legislation? Seek Subas 10A. What have they done? Do not tell me that the fight over pigs or Shabbos transportation was won. Those things are not important to me. If you have succeeded regarding settlement and education policy, you have it all. If not, you have nothing. I would like to emphasize something else. I am not expressing an opinion on whether or not they should have joined the coalition. I don't know. I don't know. First, I am not a resident of the land of Israel, and perhaps I have no right to interfere. Second, I am not a Torah giant, such that I could rule on such a question. I simply want to know who did rule on this question, and why did he decide that way? You might answer me, an emergency is different. But to me, this argument is senseless. First, it does not matter if Chaim Moshe Shapira and Yosef Berg occupied two meaningless posts in the government. Neither the State Department in Washington nor the Foreign Office in London is aware of that. The general Zionists are represented as much as we are, and yet they did not enter the government. You see that despite the demand for unity, solemnly articulated by Ben-Tzvi, president of the State of Israel, Chirut, meaning the right-wingers, were not invited to join the government, because he considers them to be fascists. There are then principles that trump the principles of unity. Why do they require of us that we sacrifice everything on the altar of unity, of expansion, chesed, top 187? And anyway, it is foolish to speak of unity in connection with government. The Jewish people is, in any case, united in its struggle for the land of Israel. From the Agoda to the left-wing parties, we stand as one man, as companions, in defense of the land of Israel and the Yishuv. Nothing will deter us. We will no longer tolerate the cowardice displayed by the Jewish leaders in America during the Hitler years. The land of Israel is a vital issue for the Knesset Yisrael. However, no two reigns overlap even one hair's breadth. See Yuma 38b. This has nothing to do with the question of our participation in a government that does not understand the most minimal requirements of religious liberty. You might ask me why I care so much. For two simple reasons. First, I myself want to be convinced that the Mizrahi still follows the Shulchan Aruch of Tiferes, that it has the bravery to practice chesed, as well as the strength to implement the attribute of Gevurah at certain times. Sitting itself down quote, at the entrance of the tent as the day grew hot. It would give me the courage and inspiration to throw myself into the work of organizing and developing a Mizrahi ideology and a nucleus of Mizrahi members who not only pay dues, but believe in the cause. Second, we must break down the wall that separates us from the yeshiva youth. These youths are logical and sincere. Many of them inquire of me, yesterday you said one thing and today another. They point to Hatzofer and ask me questions. Our path must be clear and consistent. Otherwise, we will not attract this group, which by rights belongs to the Mizrahi. You will not attract the conservative Jew, neither you nor Hapoel Mizrahi. In general, Rabotai, at this critical time, the Mizrahi has much to teach the leaders of the State of Israel and of the Zionist organization in the diaspora. We find ourselves in a time of distress, and distress is always connected with tshuva. Deuteronomy 4, verse 30, when you are in distress, because all these things have befallen you, and in the end, return to the Almighty your God and you obey him. Tshuva cannot be reduced to an elegant turn of phrase or striking one's chest while reciting the Al-Chait litany. Tshuva is a way of life, a method, an approach to problems, a worldview. Tshuva is one of the things created before the world came into existence. See Canaan 39b. For in it lies the secret of creation. If we understand tshuva well, we can take the right position on all the problems of the present. Top page 198. What are the principles of tshuva? Truth, hakarat hachet, recognition of the sin, depends on absolute truthfulness and sincerity. Hakarat hachet also means self-knowledge. How can one recognize sin without knowing oneself? We Jews must know ourselves. We have to ask ourselves who we are, especially American Jews who love the land of Israel but are afraid to speak up lest they be accused of dual loyalty, must ask themselves this question. Well, let me read that again. We Jews must know ourselves. We have to ask ourselves who we are, especially American Jews who love the land of Israel but are afraid to speak up lest they be accused of dual loyalty. They must ask themselves this question. Who are we? American citizens who dare not show any love for the Jewish state and must always speak in the name of American interests? Or are we also Jews who may and must participate openly in the struggle for the land of Israel? Believe me, this question is the most important one on the agenda. The answer, it seems to me, again lies in the two attributes about which I spoke earlier, chesed and gevura, expansion and contraction. On the one hand, a Jew is a citizen of the land in which he lives. He must be loyal and committed to it. He must follow its laws and participate in all the country's enterprises, economic, political, and cultural. Here, the attribute of chesed reigns. A Jew pays taxes, serves in the military, contributes to the commonweal. In this way, he is a resident, chesed. But on the other hand, there is one area in which the Jew seeks seclusion and not expansion, gevura and not chesed, privacy and not company, namely in his relationship with God. The relationship between man and God is so intimate and holy, so subjective and tender, that on its account, we lock the doors of the public domain and we isolate ourselves with God in private. No country can intervene. No people or passport can interfere with or interrupt us in our audience with the Almighty. Here, we are aliens. We can live in a land for 1,000 years, speak the same language, fight together, suffer, love one another, be full residents. But when it comes to our love for the Almighty God, we become aliens. Abraham developed this idea for the Hittites. I am an alien and a resident among you. I can join forces with you in all state political cultural arenas, but when it comes to matters touching on the relationship between God and man, I remain an alien. Jews have classified many domains under this rubric. Family life. Abraham was a loyal citizen among the Hittites and Philistines. When it came to finding a spouse for his son, he said, you will not take a wife for my son and the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but will go to the land of my birth. See Genesis 24. In terms of a grave, he wanted a separate cemetery, a heritable burial site. Genesis 23. He did not want to inter Sarah in the same graveyard where Ephron's wife lay. As regards to the home, Shabbos, festivals, kashrus, tefillin, we are distinct. Here we are aliens. I am an alien and a resident among you. Jews have followed this slogan for thousands of years. Let us now discuss the land of Israel. In which category should we place the land of Israel, resident or alien? The answer depends on our classification. In what light do we see the vision of the land of Israel? If the land of Israel is simply a country that serves a political purpose, an atheistic country, a country in which the master of the universe has no home, then we American Jews are residents of America and have no portion in the land of Israel. Aside from sentimental and altruistic motives, there are no reasons that would impel us to throw ourselves into the struggle for the land of Israel. If the land of Israel is just a land, then we too have a, quote, desirable, good, wide land. See Gemara Brachos 44a and 48b. And then Abraham bowed low before the people of the land. Genesis 23. We bow to our civic duties and forget about the land of Israel entirely. However, if the land of Israel is not just another land, but a holy land, if the land of Israel falls under the category of Shechina, because God rests there, if the building of the land is not simply an economic political matter, but represents a spiritual religious renaissance, for through the land of Israel the Jew will grow closer to the master of the universe, then we tell everyone, true, we are loyal citizens of America, but the land of Israel is not a political home for us. It is the home of God, an abode for the Shekhinah. And when it comes to the master of the universe, we are free to behave as we choose, just as no state can force us to desecrate Shabbos, violate kashrus, or legalize intermarriage. So too, no state can compel us to forget the land of Israel. Then is the oath, Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, then it is sincere. You all know Ben-Gurion's answer to this question. Let him make no mistake, though. Despite the fact that 17,000 American Jews came to Madison Square Garden for a rally in support of Israel on November 15, 1955, there are still thousands of other Jews who believe that if it is only a matter of what is good for America, America will survive even if the Arabs should, God save us, seize the land of Israel. It is we who must give the answers when you are in distress because all these things have befallen you, and in the end, you return to the Lord your God and obey him. Top page 200. The second principle of tshuva. Hold on a second. There we go. Truth is one principle of tshuva, and the second one is faith in ourselves. The second principle of tshuva is faith in ourselves, our self-worth, our human dignity. If the sinner does not believe in this, he can never return. Here, too, the modern Jew is sickly. He suffers from an inferiority complex. Moreover, people cannot revere someone who does not respect himself. Where respect and esteem are lacking, love cannot develop. On the contrary, such a person comes to be hated. For people to sympathize with the Jew, they must respect the Jew and the mystery of Judaism. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that the Almighty's name is proclaimed over you, and they shall stand in fear of you. Deuteronomy 28. If one seeks honor, for only through honor can one attain love, understanding, and recognition, one must know where it can be found and what the paths are that lead to it. As with everything else, one must learn the attribute of honor from the creator of the world. He is, after all, the honored king, Psalm 24. The God of hosts, he is the king of honor, Selah. A person is honored if he does not bear his emotional life openly for the whole street to see. God came down in a cloud, Exodus 34. God revealed himself in a cloud and remained withdrawn. That is how a person should behave. He must not be pompous and bombastic, publicly displaying his feelings of jubilation. Rejoice with trembling, Psalm 2. Celebrate, but do so quietly, modestly. Do not speak any follies while doing so. When one wins a battle, one must certainly recite hallel, but one need not babble about one's power. In a similar way, when one is in a time of distress, one must grieve and mourn, but one dare not go hysterical and wail aloud. Second, historical outbursts are like a person stripping naked in public, because revealing one's soul before others contradicts the principle of human dignity. I come from a family in which the children were trained not to display our feelings overmuch. When you love your child, do not show it by kissing and hugging. Top 201. When you are, God save us, in pain, do not cry, quote, mourn on your own, grieve bitterly. Apostle Jeremiah. Let no one else's eyes penetrate your soul. My father never kissed me or even showed me extra strong love. We would part ways in silence, but sometimes reticence is louder than all the shouting in the world. Shtika kehodah. Silence is like admitting. It's like assent. See, Bava Metzia 37b. But let not the Kohatites, go inside and witness the dismantling of the sanctuary. See Numbers 4. One may not allow the Ark of the Covenant, the human soul, the emotional persona, the sacred feelings of love, joy, mourning, regret, and so on, to be cheapened by exposing them before others' eyes. On the contrary, the stronger the love, or the greater the pain, the more hidden and reserved the person should be. They shall spread a cloth of tachelis, pure blue, on top. See Numbers 4. Man's persona must be revealed in the vision of tachelis, sea, firmament, and throne of glory. See Sota 17a. No matter how good things might be, we must remember that, quote, property does not last forever. Proverbs 27. And no matter how bad things might be, one must know that even over the ocean that we wish. Oh, sorry. And no matter how bad things might be, one must know that even over the ocean that we refer to as human society, wherein the big fish swallows the little fish, stretches forth a great blue heaven. And above that heaven is the throne of glory. We live at a critical time, but we won't pull through with hysterical articles and interviews. Let the Gentiles see that we do not sit around despondent, that our hope is great, and moreover, that we rely on the creator of the world. That will make a greater impression on a Gentile than the answer given by Moshe Charette last Sunday on the program Meet the Press to the question of whether there is hope for the state of Israel, which is situated amid a sea of enemies. He replied that we must place our faith in the Arab youth, trusting that they will not follow in the ways of their parents and will have mercy on us. Believe me that at the time I felt insulted and coward, and I covered my eyes in shame. A Christian friend of my son, an intelligent Gentile, was present at the program. He sarcastically remarked, I would have trusted in the God of Israel rather than in the Arab youth. Instead of giving the historical religious response, namely that first, we know that small states have historically endured in the midst of large ones, and second, the Jewish people has been living proof of this miracle already for 2,000 years, so that millions of Gentiles would learn for their first time about the mystery of Judaism, about eternal Israel. He contented himself with a foolish banality. Amazing. Somebody that high to say, we're waiting on the Arab youth to come over to our side. It'll never happen. The resoluteness, top page 202, the resoluteness and dignity of Yisrael Sava, Israel of old, were lacking. The idea that we will defend every span of earth will not depend on the kindness of others and will not be subjected to horse trading. The English is not so clear. The idea that we will defend every span of earth will not depend on the kindness of others and will not be subjected to horse trading did not emerge clearly. Yeah, that is translation is a little bit choppy. I speak as a servant before the king. There was in him too much of the Levantine diplomat, Levantine, and too little of the historical Jew, who often makes a deeper impression on the Gentile. I asked myself then and there, he is a smart man. Why would he say something so silly? See, Bamidbar Rabbah, chapter 18, subsection 8. The answer is, being nervous and losing heart in the presence of Gentiles as well as desire to appear practical and realistic. When Ben-Gurion speaks in the Knesset at such a time of distress for Jacob, God's name is not mentioned in his address. He, too, places his belief and his hope in human decency. Anthony Eden will pity us. Washington will act kindly toward us. All these things stem from a feeling of inferiority. They don't understand that in order for people to have sympathy, they must also have regard. Love is utterly impossible without esteem. If I don't respect someone, I must hate him. For Israel to be respected, it must be somewhat different, somewhat better, somewhat nobler than all the others. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that the Almighty's name is proclaimed over you, and they shall stand in fear of you. With the strategies of the Mapai and Mapam, one cannot get very far. We talk too much. We have boasted about our army and enemy. We have boasted about our army in public too much. We have been too proud of my own power and the might of my hand having won this wealth for me. They're prophetic. People are talking about how could they, Hamas Nazis, break through. This is the IDF. This is the State of Israel. This is the Israel Defense Force. Everything is so tightly run. How could they have possibly gotten through? They got through. We have made tactical mistakes. I don't wish to speak of them at present, but I am a servant before the king, who understands but little. Now, too, as we organize the Jewish public opinion, I have asserted that it must be set within a Jewish framework. It would have been eminently possible for a day of prayer and fasting to have been convoked throughout America from the Pacific to the Atlantic, and for everyone, both Orthodox rabbis and non-Orthodox clergymen, to have been included for this purpose. We could have filled synagogues throughout the country with thousands of Jews on a given evening. Their voice, a religious voice full of trembling and pain, would have been heard through prayer and shofar blowing, and this voice would have made a deeper impression even in Washington than a mass demonstration in Madison Square Garden headed by all the usual suspects. Top 203. We must not forget that many Americans consider the Zionist organization to be a pressure group or a lobby. A lobby sometimes inspires fear, but doesn't exert real influence. And unfortunately, the administrator does not, I'm sorry, again, let's take from the top two more paragraphs and we're done. We must not forget that many Americans consider the Zionist organization to be a pressure group or a lobby. A lobby sometimes inspires fear, but does not exert real influence. And unfortunately, the administration does not fear the Jewish vote. I, too, believe in human decency, but that feeling must be cultivated. The hamstrings must be tugged. I do not believe that the American Zionist Congress is capable of that. The cheap methods of 30 years ago are still applied today. Yes, Rabotai, the Mizrahi must be the movement that represents the ideal of an alien and a resident, as well as the idea of, but let not the Kohenites go inside and witness the dismantling of the sanctuary. Wishing everybody the best. We can formulate a grand worldview whose symbol will be the cloth of Tchelet, sea, firmament, and throne of glory. One last time, we'll repeat. Yes, Rabotai, the Mizrahi must be the movement that represents the idea of an alien and a resident, as well as the idea of, but let not the Kohatites go inside and witness the dismantling of the sanctuary. We can formulate a grand worldview whose symbol will be the cloth of Tchelos and the sea and the firmament and the throne of glory. Thank you so much for joining me, everybody. We have concluded it. Wishing everybody all the best. God willing, there'll be another lecture, another address next week. It's called The Mizrahi and the Jewish Dance of Eternity. Please join me then. Take care, everyone. Have a great day. Bye-bye now.